All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our first episode of the Learn and Be Curious podcast. My name is Doug Harrington, and I have the privilege of leading worldwide Amazon stores. And that's a funny name of a team, but basically our team is responsible for all the places that customers shop with Amazon and all the ways we get those products to them. I'm joined today by Hannah McClellan, our VP of Operations for Pharmacy. Thank you for coming today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm super excited about this. Before we dive into Hannah and Amazon Pharmacy, though, I want to share a little bit about myself and a little bit about this podcast. So I've been with Amazon for 20 years, and I joined to start our consumables business back when we were still primarily selling books and media. I did that for about 10 years, then I ran North America for a while. And in 2022, I got the opportunity to take on this role, leading worldwide stores. When I take all these personality tests, I score very high as an introvert. But in this role, I've had the opportunity to visit over 180 of our field sites and dozens of our corporate sites and meet literally thousands of Amazonians. And I just love learning about all the cool and amazing things they're doing, celebrating their successes, thanking them for all the energy and the passion that they've brought to Amazon. Last week, as an example, I was in Davisville, West Virginia, and I got to meet a team that was bringing super fast delivery and incredible jobs to this part of rural West Virginia. And it was like the highlight of my week. So I loved it. Those visits are really the inspiration of this podcast because you accompany me many times. Sometimes we'd end up the day and we'd say, oh my gosh, that was so interesting. We learned so much. It was great to meet those people. That conversation was great. The energy of that person was fantastic. I wish we could share that with everybody. And so that was the inspiration for this podcast. This is our attempt to be able to share those conversations. We call this Learn and Be Curious. I think Amazonians here will obviously know that that's one of our 16 leadership principles. It really, in a nutshell, reminds us that it's important to always learn and grow and be open to kind of new things and new ways of doing things and change. And I think it's a great name for this podcast. I also think because of that, you are a terrific first guest to have on the podcast. So thank you for joining
thank
us
you.
And welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm going to start someplace which will not surprise you at all because okay. You've heard me ask this question probably hundreds of times, but maybe for everybody else, Hannah, what is your Amazon story?
What's my Amazon story? And I stole that from you. I ask people that question all the time now.
Fantastic.
I started at Amazon in 2010. I moved out here and I joined the DVD team, which is funny now, but at the time that was
That's such a
cool job. It was just such a...
That was kind of like the media team was the big team.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah.
The original Amazon.
It was the original Amazon. And at the time, you know, music and movies were just, and video games, such a big deal. And so I remember thinking like, I have the coolest job. And so I worked on the DVD team for a couple of years. And I would say that's where I really just got my like foundation at Amazon. And yeah. I learned all about customer obsession and just the things that really make Amazon unique. And I learned from some incredible managers and mentors, many of whom are still here, which I think says a lot about the team that I was with back then. But I guess similar to you, I just started to discover that I was really interested in these builder roles, or what at Amazon we called product management roles. And I was sort of envious of some of my friends that were out, you know, building Amazon's first wedding registry or new shopping experiences. And so I ended up transitioning after about 3 years over into Amazon Fresh.
Yeah.
So I went from arguably the oldest part of Amazon to the newest part of Amazon.
And my team.
It was your team. Yeah. And so it was part of consumables and it was, it was just the wild, wild west. Like, you know, none of the tools worked for groceries. And
yes.
And I remember actually being in a meeting with you and with Jeff Wilkie and something was said about pickup and we should test a pickup station. And I didn't know at the time that was going to become my job, but it was. And I remember you wrote down, you were like, test pickup, because I was sitting right next to you. And not long after, that was my assignment, was to design Amazon Fresh's first pickup station. And so we went, that was a big deal. It was the first time Amazon had a physical presence, you know, in the city of Seattle. And so that was a lot of fun and really got, I think, you know, my product management juices flowing. And then it turned out my wife, who had been, you know, quietly training to be a surgeon in the background all this time, was done with that endeavor over at the University of Washington. And she matched for her fellowship in Atlanta at Emory. Great news for her. I was crushed. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, is my career at Amazon over? What am I going to do? And so I talked to my HR partner about it and she's like, give me a few days. And she came back and she said, Hannah, I have good news and bad news. And the good news is we have an office in Atlanta. And I was like, oh, thank God. And she said, the bad news is all they do there is trucking.
And I was I remember this. I was actually quite sad when you told me. Really. I couldn't believe it. I mean, on two levels. One, I was so sad that you're going to be leaving the team. But then you said, well, I'm going to go run middle mile trucking, which just seemed to me the farthest thing from
you
what
you've
been doing. And so what was like that? What was that like going from, first of all, at that time, two operations and the business side were actually pretty far apart. Oh, they were like different worlds.
Sure.
So how much did it feel like it was the same Amazon, just a different place, or was it something entirely different?
Oh, that's
different?
A great question. And you know what I loved about it is I didn't even have to think about it that long. I remember thinking, you know, my first thought is like, well, I can't do that. And then I thought, I can't leave here. So if that's what it is, that's what it is. And I sent an email to the VP. I convinced him to take a shot on me. And I think to your point, like one thing I said to him is, I said, look, man, I don't know anything about trucking. And I'm just going to be honest about that. But I know a lot about Amazon. And
yeah.
I'll do anything you want me to do. And he said, your timing is so good because that's actually what I need. And so I think having had that foundation of, you know, really growing up at Amazon, it was a great fit for me to go into a very different space.
And kind of, it does follow. I mean, you've been jumping into like the newer businesses. So you jumped into Fresh, you jumped into consumables. That middle mile space was brand new for us.
Yeah.
Growing very hard, very difficult. I do remember in our WBR, the weekly calls, you'd come on sometimes and explain what's going on. And,
yeah.
In those early days, sometimes disaster could strike. You know, I could remember we'd have like 2 mile long trucking backlogs.
And like Lego threatening to give all our inventory to somebody else because we wouldn't pick it up.
Exactly. We couldn't find any more trailers in the U.S. for a while. Incredible change and opportunity.
But what was so cool about that was, where Wes ended up putting me was at inbound transportation. And if you think about it, inbound transportation is really where the retail store meets operations.
Yeah.
It's not on outbound. Like then we're just sending it out to customer. But inbound is where all the vendors that the retail store is working so hard to, you know, build relationships with and earn trust with, you know, meet our operations.
Yeah.
And when we don't do it right, it's super frustrating for them and has, you know, just a big snowball effect. And so you're right. I was the one that then had to stand up and explain why we were unable to get inventory into the building and, you know, why we weren't picking up on time. And so it was a really cool time for us to be able to come together as, the, you know, retail and ops. And I think we made great progress. And so those calls went from something I was not looking forward to, you know, metrics going up and to the right and on-time pickup and backlogs going down. And so it really was, it was just a great example, I think, of an Amazon career where, you know, we are willing to take a chance on general athletes and Amazonian leaders and let them go learn a new business. And sometimes having that fresh perspective is actually really valuable.
So I didn't let you get very far. So what was the next step then?
One of the probably most, you know, things I'm most proud of at Amazon is I wrote, together with a new MBA hire, we wrote the original PRFAQ for Amazon getting into the trucking business and for buying all those cute blue trailers you see on the highway and saying like, why don't we kind of start doing this ourselves and taking more control of our own destiny. And so we wrote that and we did all the analysis. And then I remember writing the car, right? Which is the permission slip to go buy the first 1,000, you know, trailers, which was such a big deal at the time. And now we own tens of thousands of those things. And every time I see one on the highway, I think like that started with two people at Amazon, you know, putting together.
That's amazing.
If you had taken me back to business school and said, where do you think you're going to be in 10 years, Hannah?
Yeah.
Starting a trucking company probably wouldn't have been on the list.
low on the list.
Not even on the list.
Now, I was keeping track of you all these years.
And
so we were intersecting with each other. And then at around kind of 5 years in, then I reached out to you about the TA role.
Yeah. And so then I was sitting, we were still kind of COVID days. So I was working from home. I was sitting at my desk. It was a Friday afternoon. And Udit, who was my manager at the time, called me and he said, hey, Doug Harrington was interested in, you know, maybe having you be his next TA. And I just remember saying, I would be thrilled.
Yeah.
And I remember he said, I thought you might. And so we chatted for a second and then I talked to you about it. It stands for technical advisor. And I think, you know, outside of Amazon, I tend to describe it as sort of a chief of staff role and really, you know, part investing in me and other TAs as leaders and as a learning experience, and then part in, you know, bringing someone in to help, you know.
You nailed it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
It actually, it came, one of our board members, you know, suggested it to Jeff. He had been at Intel.
I didn't know that.
And Intel had a role called technical assistant, I think.
Okay.
So we kept the letters the same.
Oh, okay.
But that same idea, which is somebody who could really help dive into the business, be kind of a second brain, kind of thinking about the organization and the operations, but then also a terrific leadership opportunity, growth opportunity, and development opportunity. And so we try to find people who are like super capable and super high potential.
I tell people a lot, you know, if you think the people at the, you know, top of this company don't walk the walk and talk the talk, I can assure you they do. And I've been there and I've seen them disagree and commit. I've seen them, you know, have backbone. I've seen them dive deep.
Yeah,
I've seen them do all these things. And it was just really neat to see it at the highest level and, you know, and think this is, you know, what we ask of all the employees at Amazon is modeled at the top.
Yeah. That's been one of the ways that I've grown as a leader when I've been here. It's just seeing these other incredible leaders. When I joined the S team and got to see Jeff and Jeff Wilkie and Jeff Blackburn and Andy and how they interacted with each other, how they thought about problems, it really raised the bar for me in so many areas. I used to think I was like a big thinker and pretty creative. And then I met these guys and I'm like, oh boy, I got to up my game. Got to up my game if I'm going to hang with these guys. So coming out of that, one of the fun parts about the TA job is when you come out, you get to find a new job and you've had an interesting perch for a year because you've seen what's going on all over Amazon, not just in the stores team, but across Amazon.
Yeah.
And as a result, you actually have a lot of different opportunities in front of you. You choose Amazon Pharmacy. Why?
Well, in about April of our TA, my TA year, you and I went down to San Francisco. We had just acquired One Medical. We wanted to see their office and meet that team. And I just remember thinking, wow, like if ever I saw, you know, what would a doctor's office feel like if Amazon was running it? Like I just saw it and I got really excited about that. And then shortly thereafter, I became an Amazon Pharmacy customer. You and I had gone down to Phoenix and seen our big pharmacy there. And so I started to experience what it was like to not have to go to the pharmacy anymore. Yeah. And then meanwhile, you know, I have to be honest, I sit down for dinner every night across the table from someone who's a pediatric surgeon. Mm-hmm. And as much as I love what we do here, I think I'd been a little envious of her job and maybe just the impact is probably a better way to say it that she gets to have on the people and the families that she works with.
Making lives better and easier is great. Like I used to say, you know, we sell toilet paper at the end of the day. And so we're not exactly saving lives. But actually, when you get into the healthcare space, you are helping to save lives.
Yeah. And so I remember seeing One Medical, seeing pharmacy and thinking, oh my goodness, if I could do Amazon, which I love, in healthcare, like I'm in. Where do I sign?
I use One Medical, which is our primary care service, and pharmacy. And the way those two things work together is kind of magical.
Yeah.
You know, I've multiple times now, I've been with my doctor and Dr. Eric will be like, hey, I'm thinking about prescribing X. And I say, okay. And he's typing it while he's talking to me. And then my phone dings and it's from Amazon Pharmacy. Yeah. And it says, we've gotten your prescription already. We're checking it over. And then by the time I walk back to my office, it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. And on several occasions, it's beaten me home at the end of the day, which is kind of amazing. Maybe you could just talk a little bit about how Amazon Pharmacy, well, first, we'll just start at the highest level. Is Amazon Pharmacy just like any other pharmacy?
I would argue it's better, but it is just like any other pharmacy. It is a full service pharmacy.
Yeah.
It's where, you know, you can get your medications that your doctor prescribes.
So when your doctor says, who's your pharmacy? Where do you want to pick this up? You say Amazon
Pharmacy. Yeah. And that people are confused. They're like, I just say that? Like, yeah, you just say that. And they will type it in. Even if they seem confused, just say it. They will type it in.
That's happening.
And it will
too.
Pop up. Yeah. It's a thing. And you can send it to us like any other pharmacy. We have pharmacists. I get that question a lot. Do you really have pharmacists? Yes, we have pharmacists. It's a full service pharmacy with the convenience of, you know, Amazon. It's a pharmacy in your pocket is what I like to call it. So, and we never close. And so you can order anytime. You can talk to a pharmacist 24/7 and it comes with free and fast Prime delivery, just like you described. And I've had that experience myself of, you know, walking out of a doctor, even if it's not One Medical and I'm not even back to my car yet. And they're like, we've got it. And that's so reassuring because you just know that things are moving forward. I think a big thing, we decided to get into this business because we just looked at this experience and we thought, oh my goodness, like if ever there was an opportunity to do what Amazon does best, to start from the customer, work backwards, and use technology and logistics to make a delightful, innovative experience in an industry that probably hasn't changed since the 90s, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
This is it. Never mind the fact that you go to a delivery partner and say, you want to deliver something that's really small and lightweight, like it's perfect for e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And so that is how we, you know, got into this space. And when we think about our core, you know, selection, price, convenience, like the recipe for success we've had at Amazon, pharmacy was just a perfect opportunity. And our ability to, you know, I think go into a space where customers have just learned to accept that it's going to be inconvenient to get to the pharmacy. You're going to wait in a line.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have, if you're willing to, some kind of private conversations and a public space, and like, here's my neighbor, but my pharmacy's, you know, asking me if I have any questions. And you don't know what you're going to pay for it until you get up to the counter, which I think we take that for granted. There are so many people for whom that is very nerve wracking and can be the, you know, make or break as to whether they're actually going to leave with that medication today. And yet there's no feedback loop to your doctor if you don't pick it up. And so I'll, you know, a really sad statistic, I think, is that 30% of prescriptions that doctors write in the US today are never filled.
Is that true?
For all of those reasons, you know, it can be cost, convenience, like all of these reasons. I lost it before I could take it to the pharmacy. And I often, like, I look at my team, I'm like, it is really crazy how many things can get in the way of a poor patient just trying to go from their doctor's office eventually home with medication. Yeah. Like there's a million obstacles.
Walk us through that, because it is, I mean, we've thought about pharmacy for a long time and we shied away from it because it is so complicated and so difficult. We were not wrong once we've gotten into it. Maybe like just explain, because you run the whole thing in the back. What happens in the background, like when my doctor sends a prescription to you, between that point and when I get a bottle of pills at my house?
Okay. So step by step. So we will receive it in that case digitally. Yeah. And the first thing we have to do is type it. And obviously being Amazon, we've figured out how to use AI to automatically type it. But, you know, if it was...
Type it meaning?
Meaning like we get a prescription and I have to actually translate it from what they're sending me into our data structure so that I can then pump it through my fulfillment system. And so in some cases, like you're talking about an e-prescription, but that's not always what we get. Like we will get faxes.
You still get faxes. Like a doctor handwrites it.
100%. Mm. Probably. And there's not a pharmacy in the United States that doesn't have a fax machine. Like that is sort of the de facto way that they communicate. And so we...
In case they get a prescription from the 90s.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So you enter them in.
So we enter it in and then... So that's just, you know, straight up translation of data and organization. Then it needs to be checked by a pharmacist. And this is what any pharmacy would do. And so they're going to go through and make sure that based on what we know about you, that this dosage and everything makes sense. And there's no allergies or drug interactions we need to be aware of. And then we will send you the text that says, hey, it's ready for you to order. Yeah. And so then you can check it out. And that's where, since we have your insurance, we can run that claim and tell you exactly what you would pay for it with your insurance, but also what you would pay for it with cash. Because believe it or not, Amazon has, you know, negotiated a lot of savings with various manufacturers and pharmacy benefit managers. And so we show you both and we give you the option. And sometimes it is cheaper for customers to pay cash, but they have that agency to choose. And then it would feel very much like you're just checking out on Amazon. So you say like, add it to my cart, where do you want it delivered? And we're done. And at that point, it's an order and it gets dropped down to our fulfillment center. And at that point it moves through, we have some really cool, I think, automation that you and I saw down in Phoenix and these cool robots that can like fill bottles. And so it will be fulfilled.
But we still have a pharmacist check it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, we have to, that's required.
Yeah. Even when the machine is dispensing.
Oh yeah.
The pharmacist is sitting there watching it with live camera feeds and verifying.
Yeah. So
the right pills are going into the right bottle.
Sort of. So it'll get filled and then a human actually has to check it before we put it in a box.
Oh, really?
Like they're going to hold it and that's called pharmacist verification too. Yeah. So the first one is when they check the prescription. The second one is when they check the fulfilled order. And so they're going to say, is this name and, you know, dosage right? Yeah. Was the pill look right? So it is a human checking it, a pharmacist, and then it will move on through it. Only at that point, I would argue, does it start to really look and feel like an Amazon FC.
What's amazing, by the way, is you're doing all of this and it's still so fast now, the deliveries. And so you've got to figure out how to sequence all of this so it can happen in, I don't know how many minutes is what your service level that you're going for, but it's fantastic. And, and how are you getting it so fast?
Sure. Well, what we did, you know, we started off, I think when Amazon Pharmacy began, we just had our big central fulfillment centers. And so we were a 2-day service, which is better than nothing, but, you know, obviously not Amazon's bar. But then, you know, as you know, Amazon has been standing up the same day fulfillment centers around the country, which are just smaller, nimbler buildings closer to customers that give us really fast speed. And so we went to the same day team and said, hey, can we have about 1,500 square feet in a corner somewhere where we can put a pharmacy? And obviously, you know, if you think about all of us optimizing for the customer experience, they were excited about that because this is another reason that when you know customers would be delighted and that we can better serve their needs. And so we have started putting a pharmacy in each of our sub same day buildings, and they're very small. But they're, you know, tiny but mighty is what I say. And so they, they're very, you know, they're secure. It is a, it's almost like a store within a store.
Exactly.
And so it's, that's where the pharmacists work. Nobody else is getting in or out of there. And then they produce fully packed, labeled packages that then get just injected right into the outbound delivery routes of our vans.
Very clever. I visited a bunch of them there. Oh, it's cool. Amazing to see them kind of built up. And it's wonderful to visit the pharmacists that are working inside there.
I know. So and they're so happy. And I love the stories I hear from our pharmacists who have been in the retail industry, and it's been very stressful. And they, you know, and I think dealing with customers who were confused and frustrated. And as the pharmacist, they're forced to be that middleman, you know, between a very complicated industry and a very, you know, frustrated and oftentimes patient who's not feeling very well. And so in our world, we just abstract all of that away. Yeah. And they knew exactly what they were going to pay, and they could have that conversation with their doctor. And so we were able to, I think, make patients happy, but you know, equally as important, make pharmacists happy, and they enjoy working with us.
Yeah, that's awesome. You did mention the website. It's taken us a while to get the online experience right, because the traditional pharmacy experience was so different. And like my experience has always been, you go into the pharmacist, you have no idea what it's going to cost. They just ask for your insurance number, and then they tell you, and then you're gone. When people came to Amazon and we first launched, they said, well, we want to know what the price is.
Yeah.
And so we had to go back to find out what each customer's insurance is, and then go back to the insurance company and say, can you tell us what the price is that you're going to charge them?
Yep.
And they said, well, why do you want to know that?
Yep.
And we were just like, well, the customer wants to know that. And they said, nobody's ever asked us for that before.
That's a true story.
And so we've been starting to get that. And as you said, we've also got cash prices. I thought one of the interesting things I had learned in this is that we have a much higher percentage of people who choose paying cash, because when they actually see the insurance price versus the cash price, for many of them, the cash price is actually lower. Mm-hmm. And you never hear about that cash price when you're in the pharmacist there. And so I think it is not just the convenience of fast delivery and having all the prescriptions that you might want to have, but it's this value side as well.
And think about like, you want to know what you're going to pay, but your doctor also wants to know what you're going to pay. Because what we don't realize is oftentimes it's really expensive and there's an alternative, but your doctor is completely in the dark about what it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And so and because you don't know that till you're at the pharmacy, what we've done, and you've probably had this experience at One Medical, is you can integrate directly with a physician's office and with their software, so that as soon as they write the prescription, they can tell you and they see what it's going to cost at Amazon. It's the complexity of the pharmacy and the pharmaceutical industry right now, and the way that insurance companies and providers and all of it works together. It's just super, super confusing. And it's just, I think it's so sad because, you know, at the end of the day, it ends up being, you know, I think underserved communities and oftentimes elderly patients who are taking a lot of meds that really bear the brunt of this. And all the information is there and it is knowable. And when we use technology to connect it, then your doctor can have a conversation with you and you guys can figure out what's the best treatment for you. And
well, the good news for you is I get a lot of feedback on Amazon services and products, good and bad, all over the place. I would say that in general, the Amazon pharmacy feedback I get is amazing.
Aww.
Like the customers who use it just love it. And it is so much better than the traditional system that it really stands out. And so congratulations on
that. Thank you.
That's terrific.
Oh, that feels good.
In fact, as you know, early on, I sent an email out to the entire team and told everybody they should try Amazon Pharmacy because I think it's just a wonderful service. And the email I got back was kind of like universally positive and kind of the stories of how helpful it was for individuals and their families was great. Do you get any kind of feedback from customers about the service?
We do. One that really stuck with me the other day, it was from a young woman who said her father had always had this lifelong dream of retiring in Moab, Utah, in this beautiful part of the country. And so they built his house exactly how we wanted it. And when it was all said and done and this dream had come true, unfortunately, he's 45 minutes from his closest pharmacy. And that wasn't a big deal until it was. And he got pretty sick with the flu and was really too weak to make that drive. And all his children live elsewhere and they couldn't really come help. And so his daughter helped him sign up for Amazon Pharmacy almost as a, you know, last resort, like maybe this will work. And then she wrote us a note and talked about how easy it was to sign up, how fast he was able to get his medication and get feeling better, and how much, you know, that just makes her feel so much more secure knowing that he's,
that's awesome,
he's living out there alone. But here we are and we have a service that can help him. And you know, we even, that's that role of a caregiver is really common in healthcare, both in terms of parents taking care of children, but also children taking care of parents. And so we have a feature that allows you to sign up as a caregiver and manage medication on behalf of your family member or dependent and just make that, you know, what's a very common experience in healthcare actually work seamlessly in our service.
Yeah.
So that's really neat.
That's fantastic.
I love those stories. Actually, I keep, I have a folder in my inbox, you know, where over the years we get those just, you know, really encouraging kind of heartwarming customer anecdotes.
That's a nice folder to go back to time and again.
I need it. I really need it. And it just helps you remember the impact that that we have on customers.
Great.
And, you know, we haven't really talked about our kiosks, but Amazon recently launched these kiosks, which is, you know, think about a medication dispensing kiosk. So you can put it in a One Medical office and you know, just launch those right at the in December. And one of the biggest challenges we had to figure out is how to have pharmacists check medications if we're not going to be fulfilling them in the fulfillment center. And for a second, I thought like that could be the deal breaker. But we have cameras inside the kiosk. Think of it like a live stream. And so as soon as it fulfills your med and puts your label on it, then one of our pharmacists sitting back at, you know, at our central pharmacies can see a live feed and they can check the label and they can check what the pill looks like. And so there is, you know, a pharmacist overseeing every single medication that goes out the door.
I cannot wait until we have one of these kiosks in my Seattle doctor's office.
I know.
I mean, you guys took me through one of the early units, and it's just amazing. You literally get prescribed, and then, you know, you walk out of your doctor's office, walk up to this kiosk, and the medication drops out.
Yeah.
It's a real game
changer. Well, we had these goals this year of like, how can we increase sub same day delivery and delivery in less than 24 hours? And all of a sudden we were like, well, how can we just have delivery be zero? Like, how can we just have it be minutes? And there was this technology and so we assembled a very dedicated, what you know to call it, a two pizza team. Like I single threaded them, and they all report to one person, and they've done nothing for the past 18 months but work on these kiosks. And so it's been a really cool, you know, I think opportunity to see Amazon move quickly and be customer obsessed and launch something that I just know customers are going to love.
That's awesome. Maybe we could just elevate it back up to, you know, this Amazon Pharmacy experience is, I'm sure, quite interesting. Is there a part of the Amazon culture or leadership principle that you lean on or think about more in this role versus
this
other roles?
You know, I would say customer obsession. And the reason that's top of mind, I just did an all hands with my team and I was congratulating them on, you know, all the things that we've done this year. And we got faster and we got, you know, better. Our delivery accuracy got better and we lowered our costs. And we certainly improved the customer experience, but I do think we've learned a few lessons where if I had it to do all over again, I would have held a tighter line on not trading off some customer experience things. And we learned that, you know, especially I always say healthcare just hits different and customers have a different expectation and a different tolerance for defects. Yeah. So I really appreciate what you said about all the good, you know, news you hear, but my experience in pharmacy has been when we are successful, it's amazing. And when we miss, it hurts.
Yeah.
And you feel twice, like it's just tenfold on either side.
Yeah.
And so I think that for us, and I, you know, I told the team, it feels good to meet a cost goal.
Yeah.
But it feels way worse to miss a customer experience goal in this industry. And really, you know, really anywhere at Amazon, especially in this one. You know, we talked through some examples of where we have just got to be uncompromising on the CX bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if that means, I said, look, a goal is not a law. And if we need to launch something a month or two later because we need to get this thing exactly right, like I'm here for it. And that is the right call and it will pay off in the long run. So I think specifically in healthcare.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Customer experience is that's a
fantastic.
Big one.
Customer obsession is, though, our number one kind
of
leadership
principle. Yeah, that's fair. It's always first.
But that's good. So Hannah, I've been asking you question after question. I'd like to give you the opportunity of asking me a question.
Oh, cool. Okay. One thing I was thinking about, I feel like I feel like one thing you and I have in common is just, we just love Amazon culture and we have so much respect for what it means to be an Amazonian. And I remember as a TA, we would talk about the importance of trying to preserve that culture and how relentlessly purposeful Jeff B was at using culture to get this whole company to row in one direction, even as we scaled. But it's obviously been a few years since you and I talked about that. So I think, how do you feel like we're doing in that regard today?
That's a good question. Yeah, I get that question a lot from people like, oh, you worked with Jeff Bezos, you know, greatest businessman of our generation. What did you learn from him? And the heartfelt answer I give them is I learned the power of using culture to get everybody on the same page. It just reduces friction if you know where everybody's coming from. And we do it through these leadership principles. So we have 16 of these leadership principles, and they kind of define how we want our leaders to make decisions and behave and work with each other and solve problems when they're at their best. And it actually did take me a while to understand this. When I first joined, I did not understand why these leadership principles were so important. And I didn't understand why people were using the phrases all over the place. Dive deep, customer obsession, deliver results, insist on highest standards. In fact, they were everywhere. Everybody was talking to me. I felt like I had joined a cult. I told my wife. And in the beginning, I had a small team. My original team was only 23 people. I could kind of see what everybody was doing. But as I spent time here over the year, as my team grew and I was no longer in the room when all the decisions were being made, or we were working with teams, you know, in a different part of the organization, I started to see the power of, wow, what if we're all thinking about the world in the same way? I mean, you had a great example, customer obsession. What if we all understand that when there's a problem and when the shit hits the fan, the most important thing to do is to take care of the customer, regardless of the cost, regardless of the difficulty. And the fact that I can trust that all Amazonians think like that is incredibly powerful. And so how do we do that? You know, we talk about these, we write the leadership principles down and we talk about them all the time. They weren't actually with us at the starting. I don't think they even got written down until about 2002. So that was about 7 years into our adventure. So Jeff didn't kind of come down from the mountaintop with these leadership principles carved in stone. We wrote them down primarily so that we could start teaching them to other people and teaching them to all the new people at Amazon. And so that's what is behind this constant reference to the leadership principles. And we use them when we interview people, and we use them when we do annual reviews, and when we promote people. And then, as you know, in everyday conversation, in every meeting, we try to reach back to them so that we can all stay on the same page of, no, I don't think we're insisting on high enough standards here. Or no, I don't think we're living up to our spirit of being vocally self-critical. Mm-hmm. And so are we still living up to it? I think so. I think so. I've been here for 20 years. And, you know, as my colleague Russ says, there was never a Camelot where we were perfect. Our leadership principles were always the behaviors that we aspired to live by, you know, when we were at our best. But the way that we do that is we keep on communicating them and talking them and teaching them. And I try to do that every day. I've seen you do it today. And so I think we're still on the right path.
I agree with you.
Maybe I could just ask you one other question. Your career path is so interesting because you have done so many different things. And I talk to a lot of people who are struggling with this, like, should I just stay where I am and maybe I'll get promoted faster? And versus should I try something new? And I actually use you as kind of an archetype of somebody who's taken risks and tried new things. What's your advice when people come and ask about that kind of choice and dilemma?
It's a great question. Well, by force or by choice, I think like my biggest jump was moving into operations, and I love that. But I also get this question a lot from, you know, mentees, and I think at Amazon, what often happens is folks will be really close to a promotion.
Yeah.
But maybe some part of them is thinking, I kind of like this job over here looks cool. And I always say promotions are great. They're also kind of temporary. Mm-hmm. And after the halo of getting that promotion wears off, like, you're going to have to get up and do that job for another couple of years. And then the other thing to think about is, you know, in my case, I was over in retail. I was, you know, in the in-stock vendor management space, and I started to think this product management stuff looked really cool. And I think if you hold on for a promotion in the job you're in just for the sake of being promoted, you can actually do yourself a disservice, because now you're going to be asking someone to take a risk on you in a job function you're interested in at a higher level.
That's interesting.
Where they're probably like, I expect my L7s or, you know, God forbid my L8s to know what they're doing in this job function. Like, and so, you know, I often, when I'm talking to L5s, L6s, you know, just, it's like, again, if we're a long-term company, we always say that, like, think long-term. And I think that about your career, like, think long-term. And if there's a part of you that thinks you would like that better, I guarantee you, you will be happier and more successful in the long-term if you're doing what you love. And maybe that delays your promotion by a year. I would argue oftentimes it doesn't, because you're going to be on rocket boosters if you're doing what you love. And so I do think, for all of us, and, you know, Amazon attracts go-getters and people that, you know, want to be successful. And so that promotion can be a carrot that maybe can be hard to walk away from. But I know I did it. I was offered a big job and, you know, being like the head vendor manager of books, or, you know, it was a step up, but a step
head
in the direction.
DVD. I don't think you want to be head of DVD these days. Nobody knows what a DVD is anymore.
Yeah. My kids certainly don't. And instead I followed my heart. As corny as that might sound, I thought, like, I just think this is where I feel like I want to be. And that was certainly the right choice for me, but I think there's a just more general lesson in that.
Yeah,
you know,
I do too. You know, I do think it feels uncomfortable. It's a big risk. You go from being like the smartest person in the room to the dumbest person in the room when you have to shift over. But I think it opens up, the more skills you develop, the more experience you have, the more opportunities it opens up in the future. I think it's actually one. I do tell people, if they've got ants in their pants and they're very nervous about promotions, then that's fine. They can stay where they are. But if they really want to think about maximizing their growth, moving around is actually one of the most interesting things you can do.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for being here as our first guest on the Learn and Be Curious podcast. Thank you for sharing your story and sharing what you know about Amazon Pharmacy. Thank you and the team for building Amazon Pharmacy. And thank you for everything you've given to Amazon and our customers over the years. I think we've been so lucky to have you.
I think you've given me far more than I've given Amazon, but thank you. It has been such a pleasure.
That's great. Thank all the listeners as well for joining us on this inaugural event, the Amazonians and the Amazon Curious alike. If you're interested in hearing more and learning more, you can go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. And if there's more people or businesses or innovations that you're curious about and want to learn more about, just let us know in the comments line below this post. Thank you, Hannah. And until next time, everyone take care.